You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Celebrate Canada's 150th and treat yourself to a brand new Silverado. 20% off MSRP cash credit on select vehicles right now at Lakewood Chev.
Talk a little. We were talking hockey lots. We continue to talk some stick. Who doesn't? As Jim Cerny joins us from the Sporting News now in Canada, Jim. They've recognized that Canadians like hockey.
Yeah, I guess that's why they brought me aboard. You know, they know I like hockey, so you know you're going to get this stuff quite a bit of hockey for sure now on Sporting News. Yeah, Sporting News Canada launched and, you know, kind of focusing a little bit more on, you know, all things Canada, CFL and, you know, the Raptors, the Jays. And certainly we'll be well into the World Juniors as well when that happens. And but NHL first and foremost for me.
Yeah, well, as you've been covering the league for quite some time, so that doesn't surprise me at all. Now, of course, you know, you've been covering the Rangers and the Islanders for a long time. And, of course, I guess Kevin Shattenkirk would be the big one. I saw his press conference. He's obviously elated to be in New York. There's been a lot of talk, you know, Dan Girardi was weighing down Ryan McDonagh. As somebody who watched every night, is that a fair assessment? And who do you expect McDonagh to run with regularly this year?
Yeah, I think there was something to that. The last, you know, at least last two seasons, if not longer than that, you know, Girardi had slowed down so much, and he was never a speed demon back there anyway. But, you know, he had really slowed down. And then, you know, he was losing battles. He was losing a lot of puck battles. And, you know, Ryan McDonagh is one of the elite skating defensemen in the NHL. And he had to spend so much of his time, you know, looking over his shoulder, making sure he picked up for Girardi. Now, of course, defense partners should always be there for each other. But you did get the feel that McDonagh was being held back, being paired with Girardi. So I firmly expect that Kevin Shattenkirk will get the first whack in training camp at playing with Ryan McDonagh. You know, McDonagh's the lefty, Shattenkirk's the righty. They've played together a little bit on U.S. national teams. And it just makes the most sense that they would be a really, really sweet complement to each other. The second pairing, I think, this year is going to be Brady Shea, who had a real good rookie year last year on the left side, and Brendan Smith, who the Rangers acquired from Detroit and then re-signed as an unrestricted free agent, or actually right before he became a UFA this summer. Smith is a lefty, but he'll play the right side. I think that's going to be your top four, at least to start. Interesting thing to watch here is going to be Shattenkirk. You know, when he came to Washington, you know, they put him up on that top pairing and quickly dropped him to the third pairing because they weren't too crazy about his defensive play. And in St. Louis, for much of his time, he was a top four guy, but usually on that second pairing.
Yep.
So now if he has to go up against, you know, the other team's top forward line combinations, how is that going to affect him? What's that going to do to his game? So I think that's going to be the interesting thing to watch with that Shattenkirk-McDonagh pairing.
Yeah, and that was going to be my question because in St. Now, granted, they had Pietrangelo and Bouwmeester, a pretty good defense pair. Let's say Shattenkirk can't handle the defensive responsibilities that come playing with McDonagh, who they like to play against the Sidney Crosbys and all the other top lines. Who's then the next option to play with McDonagh?
Well, you know what? All of a sudden, then your defense corps doesn't seem as deep because really there is not that next in line guy on the right hand side. You know, Brendan Smith, when he came over from Detroit, slid into that top pairing originally with McDonagh because the Rangers had some injuries on the right side. You know, there's another guy that's been a second or mainly a third pair of guys throughout his career. And, you know, he over time was getting exposed on that top pairing. And quickly he slid in nicely on the second pair with Brady Shea. But, you know, I don't think you want to be giving Brendan Smith 23, 24 minutes a night against those heavyweights. And then who's your other righty? Well, you know, they got the kid Anthony DeAngelo from Phoenix. But, again, 21-year-old, played, what, 30-odd games last year in his first NHL season, you know, with the Coyotes. And he's more of an offensive guy, really not known for his defense anyway. So he's probably not the guy. Nick Holden, again, to me, he's a second pair guy at best. So, yeah, you look at it, oh boy, Kevin Shattenkirk better figure it out quick. And again, you would think it's going to fall on the shoulders of Ryan McDonough to help Kevin Shattenkirk make it work.
Jim Searcy joins us from Sporting News Canada, just launching in Canada for all their NHL coverage. And, well, actually, they cover everything. But, of course, if you want the NHL stuff, follow Jim. He's been covering the NHL for a long time. Jim, you know, the Rangers made a lot of changes. And you know, last season, a guy local here, Nick Holden, wasn't talked about as a real big signing. But, man, he played a ton of minutes for the Rangers, had a career year offensively, which maybe will be hard to match because he's not known as necessarily an offensive guy. But he had a really good season. With the addition of McDonough, you have Brady Sky. Is Holden now probably going to go where they expected to sign him and really be in their third pair?
You know, Jason, it's a great question where he ends up going. You know, there's a lot of talk that where does he end up going? Maybe he ends up going to Toronto. A lot of people are talking about, as the Rangers are trying to acquire another center, that, you know, maybe a Tyler Bozak is a guy that they'd have interest in. Toronto might have interest, you know, in a Holden who only has another year to go, very affordable contract, and, you know, and again, like you said, coming off a pretty good year last year. Because, you know, again, we talk about McDonough and Shattenkirk, Shea and Smith. Then a third pair is really a little bit in flux. You know, you got to figure Mark Stahl's probably going to play the third pair left side. So that leaves it to this kid, D'Angelo, who came over in the step-on trade. A lot of upside. Or Holden, coming off a good year. But is Holden now more valuable as part of a trade, you know, as a trade chip, as part of a package to get that third-line center or even a second-line center if they add more to the mix? You know, I think that's the question right now. Again, good year. Certainly struggled defensively down the stretch the second half of the season. And I thought really struggled in the playoffs in both series against Montreal and Ottawa. So, you know, the Rangers might think that they got the best out of Nick Holden that they're going to get. And if it can help them land that center that they now need, you know, because they have a hole there, he might be part of the package, figuring that Stahl D'Angelo becomes the third pair. And then they have about four or five different options for that guy who would be their seventh defenseman. So I'd say it's 50-50 right now if Holden breaks camp with the team.
Jim, another team you watch closely, the New Jersey Devils. Not a very good season for the Devils last year, and they haven't made a ton of acquisitions. Obviously, having the number one pick winning the lottery helped them. They got Nico Hischier, and I expect him to play in New Jersey. You look at their division, and a lot of people expect Carolina to take a little bit of a step. I'm not sure New Jersey can. Maybe I guess they can surprise you, never know. But do you think they would have to have a lot of things go right for them to even be in the playoff picture, right?
Yeah, they need a lot of things to go right. I think they'll be better than last year, in part because it couldn't go much worse. They couldn't score last year, and they couldn't keep the puck out of their own net. So you got to figure that they're going to be a little bit better there, and they're going to have a little bit more energy because they're going to have quite a few young guys in the lineup. And, of course, you know, with that will come youthful mistakes and all. But I think the energy is going to be better on the team, and I think they're going to have more, at least potentially, offensive contributions there. Hischier for sure, the top overall pick, who I watched a lot in development camp last week. And he seemed to get better and better by the day. You could tell he really hadn't skated early in the summer. But by each day, you could see, boy, this guy's an elite skater, really has great vision. You can see that he's got the offensive skills. I'm not sure about the wear and tear on his body. He's not a real big guy yet, hasn't grown into his man's body yet. You know, he still kind of looks a little bit like a boy out there. But still, he's going to be an upgrade, you know, from what they were putting out there last year. And then you add to the mix, you know, Mikey McLeod, their first-round pick last year, is going to be given every opportunity to make the team, you know, this year. So ostensibly, now you're adding two really good young offensive players to the lineup. John Quenneville saw a little bit of time last year, another first-round pick. I think he's going to be in the mix this year. Pavel Zacha, another first-round pick who was on the team all of last year, very good second half, now will be a second-year, a young kid, but at least with that full year of experience under his belt. And all of a sudden, you start to see it come together. What they really need, the two things they really need, the two key guys here, are Taylor Hall needs to be much more of a dominant player. He needs to step forward and realize that he is being paid to be their best player, their most important player, and he's got to be a force out there every night, and he was not last year. So that's one. And the second is the most important guy on that roster is Corey Schneider. 2 years ago, the Devils remained on the fringes of the playoffs with, you know, a pretty mediocre team, because Corey Schneider was one of the best goalies in the league. You know, he was in the Vezina top all year. Last year, he was a tremendous disappointment. Really, really struggled and really never found his game, to the point that at the end of the year, he was splitting time with Keith Kincaid, who is, I don't think, is anybody's discussion for being a number one in this league. So, to me, those are the two key guys. If they turn their games around and get back to being Taylor Hall and Corey Schneider, the Devils are going to be relevant, I think, with that young roster and the more enthusiasm and the more skill on that team. I don't think they're a playoff team, but they're going to be a better watch than they were a year ago.
Jim, great catching up with you. Congrats on the new gig, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, sounds good, Jason. Have a great day.
It's Jim Cerny from Sporting News Canada. It's Around the NHL, brought to you by Cougar Paint and Collision. When you need an auto body shop, tell your insurance company you choose Cougar. 88th Street and Yellowhead Trail.